the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
So we just have to take a deep breath, girl, because I tell you, I'm tired. And I'm so glad that you are here back on the Edge with me, Angela Lee. Okay? That's right. Here's to you.
Here's to you, my friend.
You know, I'm just overwhelmed. And I'm so glad that you're here. We're going to have a candid conversation. We're going to talk about your book. She's back again, Brains. Yeah, oh, she's over there. She's back again on the Edge. She's been on my show before. She just moved to London not too long ago. She hasn't even been there a good year. She had to get settled with that. She had to move into a new apartment. She had to deal with the lockdown of the corona and now a race war.
Which we all have to deal with, frankly.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy. It is just crazy sauce. So thank you again for being here with me and loving on me the way that you do, unconditionally.
Thank you.
What's going on? How you been doing? Last time you was getting groceries delivered.
Well, let's see. I think the first time I talked to you was the first day I arrived in the UK.
Yeah.
When we set up the appointment to do the first talk we did. And so it's interesting, you know, here I've been here for about 8 months now. I think back about how this all started. Did I ever tell you that story?
No.
This is my, what's called the origin story.
All right.
Okay, so I lived in California. I went to bed on a Sunday night. I got a phone call at 1:30 in the morning. It was a robotic voice. And the voice said, "Fire in your neighborhood, evacuate immediately, wildfire." So I hung up the phone and I went downstairs and I shook my husband awake. He had gone downstairs and he was on the couch. And I said, "They say we have to evacuate." And he, "Bullshit," like that. And so I said, "Okay, I'm gonna just let me look outside and see what's going on." So I opened the back door and we lived on a hill, so it was black, you know, for where the hill was, but the sky above me was this color.
Wow.
So it was actually, it was almost a tangerine orange. It was just unreal. But what really got to me was the noise, because that night had been, we had the equivalent of Santa Ana winds.
Yeah, we had one yesterday.
Yeah, so you know how that is. The wind was 65 miles an hour. The wind noise sounded like a freight train. The fire noise sounded like a lion. It was mixed together into this loud roar. And I just shut that door. And I was freaking out. I said, "No, we have to evacuate." So we got the dog, we put a few things into the truck and we pulled away. And as we pulled away, I looked back at the house and I said, "I guess I don't have to clean out those closets anymore." And that was the last time I saw my house ever. Because 10 minutes after we left, the corner caught fire, and 10 minutes later, it was completely gone, a 2-foot pile of ash.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the Tubbs fire. There were 5,000 homes in my community that were burned. And it was really, It was interesting because I went from being a homeowner to being homeless, but I looked at it as I'm homeless, but I have resources. So I'm not really homeless, but I'm homeless. Right. And yeah, so in 8 months, I think we moved 6 times trying to get into a final place where we could have a home. And during that 8 months, I had to, you know, reestablish everything. And if I ask you to in your mind, open your kitchen junk drawer and list everything inside of it, that's what I had to do, but multiply it by every door, drawer, every closet, every dresser drawer, every box in the garage. Just like try and remember everything you ever bought, how much you paid for it, when you bought it, and what year you bought it, and make a list for the insurance company. So and while you're doing that, you got to go to the store and you have to buy everything because right. You need it to live. So I was a mess. I was a complete mess. But during that time, at some point in time, it was a wake-up call for me because I had been in a marriage where I was miserable. And I had stayed because I'm an empath and I believe everybody deserves love. And so I gave out love, but didn't love myself enough to set the boundaries, take a stand. At some point in time, someone asked me, you know, if you were going to marry him and you knew that that marriage would be forever, like eternity, would you do it? And I, no, I wouldn't. Because I wouldn't want to condemn myself to an eternity of misery.
So what it really taught you is that everything that you had from your nano essentials to the roof over your head to your relationship went up in flames.
Yes. Yeah.
And so when you put the water out and you saw the white smoke instead of the black smoke and you saw a clearing and the air became fresh and clean, you got on an airplane and you went to London.
I did.
Start your life all over again.
I quit my government job and decided to write a children's book.
You went back to, you know, you regressed back in a way to your childhood, to the most simplistic times of your life when things were easy, when they were simple, when they were loving, when they were kind. You didn't have a lot of responsibility at that time. And so I think I'm hearing what all this has taught you.
Yes. Really what it taught me is that for all of us to reach into our own childlike wonder, our own childlike joy, you know, when you think about it, a three-year-old will watch a snail cross a sidewalk and be completely smitten with this whole thing, wonder why does this trail leave behind, and be, it's like their whole world to them for that moment. They're in that moment. So they're completely present with that snail. We walk by that snail and we don't give it a second thought.
Yes, I do. They piss me off. They eat my plants. So I'm watching the
snail. We do think about them if they're in our garden where they're not supposed to be.
But it's great that you brought up that analogy and that brought up that metaphor, because it seems like the world is now moving at a snail's pace.
That's so true.
And it's leaving behind a sticky residue, a trail.
Yes.
And then when we don't like it, we crawl up into our shell.
We do indeed.
You know, and so I totally get what you're saying. I'm feeling everything that you're saying. So what do we do? You know, how do we move forward? How do we use our childlike innocence? How do we come up out of our shell to be
You know, it's interesting when you say childlike innocence. I think about kids and how they could have a disagreement, but they'll forget about it 5 minutes later. And, you know, that person is now their best friend and they're running. So kids don't really hold grudges, though in some sense, sibling rivalry they do because there's the repetitive nature of that. But on one-off people, they don't tend to hold grudges. And so for us, it's really about looking into the eyes of the people that we're with and seeing their humanity and seeing their soul and seeing what a beautiful being they really are.
But you know, Angela, that takes work. Number one, I gotta let you get close to me.
You just have to come visit me here.
Yeah, you're different, okay? You're different. And you know what? Let me clarify that, because that's what folks say. Oh, you know, you are one of them, whatever them are. But you're different. You're a different one. You know, you're a special one. You're a unique one.
Aww.
You know? And it's just about just being clear and being honest. You know, everybody
and communicating.
Yeah, but people always want you to show up, you know, authentic and honest. Sometimes you have to hold back, and it's okay to hold back.
You know, that's true. Sometimes you can't feel safe to be that authentic, honest, because of your history of things that have happened in the past, and that sticks with you. And so I think really it's about us accepting each other wherever we are.
But again, like I said, sometimes folks can't get that close to you.
Well, true.
There's these underlying conversations, misconceptions, judgments, fear. All of that. You got to clear like that junk drawer you were talking about. You got to clear the clutter.
You do. And I think that's what this is all about, that, you know, this really difficult and painful time that everybody is experiencing is bringing to the surface these long dormant, unsaid things that need to be. So every shadow is dissipated by light. We need to have these shadows come to the light so that they can leave our space. And last week I read Dr. Martin Luther King's speech, I Have a Dream speech again. For me, it's about the content of character. It's really about that.
But you know what? And it's even more than that. And I'll say it. You don't have to say it. Black folks, you get a hold of yourself, because we don't want this to flip the switch and now we become, you know, angry. We have to be able to come to some sort of meeting ground, some sort of, you know, place of a conversation, just like we're doing now. It can be nice and easy. One mile at a time. There's no, you know, and I'm so sick of this, you know, everybody labeling somebody. Oh, you know, you're white privileged, or you're racist, or you're anti, or you're this. You have every right not to like people, places, or things. That is a part of your right as a
human. Is accepting everybody where right. they are, right?
But I ask people to go with tolerance. Don't be so quick to jump to acceptance. I'm not going to accept everything. I'm just not, that's just not where I'm feeling it. But I'm not going to antagonize you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to disrespect you. I'm just going to drive in a different lane. We can do that. Okay, so, you know, are we...
And can I say that I know that I never had to worry whether my son was going to get killed when he was pulled over by the police. I never had that worry. I never had the idea that I couldn't move into a neighborhood because people wouldn't like me just because of the way I looked. And there's all of that and so much more that's part of this turmoil that we're in.
You know, and I'll tell you, my neighborhood is pretty cool, but when I first moved into my neighborhood, across the street from me is a Hispanic family. And mother was real, you know, parsnickety. She wouldn't wave or anything. And I'm trying to be friendly now. I'm a homeowner. You know, hey, Bob, hey, Sue, you know, can I borrow your lawnmower? You know, trying to be friendly.
Yeah.
She wasn't doing it. So as I got to know them, the daughter told me one day, she says, you know, my mother doesn't like Black people. And I said, really? I said, how unfortunate. And she's a school teacher. So I said, okay. So she says, but you guys are different. And I was like, no, we're not. No, we're not. So the mother was still very standoffish until one day somebody jumped over my fence. The mother called the police. She stood out there. She was an advocate for me and my family. And after that, I just loved her. So when President Obama became the president, there was a little kerfuffle, and they weren't with it. Okay, so I have this big, huge party. I invite them over, and I teach them the Black National Anthem. And it was strange. I had them hold the flag, and they did the colors that represented the United States. I tell you all of this because they were so strong in their convictions. They were so strong in their belief, but they still didn't even know who they were. Because I needed to go over to Mexico. We're not too far from Mexico. I wanted to pick up some things. And I asked them, they had this big truck. I said, can you guys take us over there? Because I need a big truck to bring it back. Do you know that they had never crossed the border?
No. Wow.
They did.
Well, they may have had a fear of being harassed as they tried to come back.
But no, they're Mexicans. Okay. And the reason why I say that is that you're quick to judge me, but you don't even know who and resonate and identify with who you are.
True.
But you want to base it off what somebody else has said.
Or a label. It's based on a label because they didn't even know you as a person to make a judgment of you.
And when we got across the border, their eyes got big as silver dollars. They saw the poverty. They saw the beauty. They heard me speak Spanish. They heard me negotiate. They just did not understand what this was. And to me, that was like such a cultural awakening because I'm like, okay. Mama didn't like me because of what she thought this was and got to know me, learned to love me, but I introduced your children to who you quote unquote raised them to be. I introduced them to a culture that they were born into that they had no idea.
That I have no idea of. And it's interesting because label, I'm not a proponent of labels, because labels create separation and labels put us into a box. I'm an empath. I'm in the empath box. And that means I'm expected to behave like an empath, and I'm supposed to have all the problems that empaths have. And, oh, you're not an empath, so I don't understand you, and maybe I don't like you because you're not in my box with me. Well, I'm much more than just an empath. That's a piece of me. And so this whole idea, I know people grab onto labels. Like for a while, I grabbed onto that empath label so that I had a self-understanding. And so I understand how when you're first delving into yourself, you seek these ways to describe yourself. And so, you know, ENFP, empath, all these labels, but none of them describe who I am in totality. They describe a piece.
No, they don't. And people are, they're fearful of the unknown. Well, I mean, you know, there's things that I'm afraid of too. You know, I'm not one to jump out of a plane. I've got some friends that, oh, just go skydiving. You do all that. I'm not one to scuba dive, or I go snorkeling and I can't take it. You know, there are things that's just not your thing, and there are things that you're not going to like. But have a fact-based place of reference.
Yes, meet the person and make a decision based on their behavior. Right. You cannot like them because they behave this way, but don't judge them because of a label.
No. And, you know, again, if it's something that you're really afraid of, stay away from it. Don't antagonize it.
Don't jump in.
Right. So let's jump into something else, because this
is talk about something fun.
And we're all monotone, girl, and you done come in from London and I'm here in San Diego. Let's talk about the book.
Okay.
Taking all of your creativity and all the time that you've had to write a children's book.
22 chapters.
What?
Yes.
Girl, J.K. Rowling better watch out.
In my dreams.
Right. And I expect for you to dream really big, because that's all we have now is hope and dreams. That's all we
do. Hope and dreams.
For a brighter tomorrow. So tell us about the book.
So, Bella Santini in the Land of Everlasting Change. The first 10 chapters are on Wattpad.com. So if anyone in the audience is interested in getting the flavor of the book, they can go on Wattpad. It's Wattpad.com and look up Bella Santini, and then they can read the first 10 chapters. The book is really written in a way to, it includes insights and tools for managing feelings. So I call it a consciousness fairy tale. Another way of looking at it is that my book highlights bullying and other issues and gives different perspectives, maybe the spiritual conscious perspective of how to deal with bullying. So with that said, if you'd like, I can read you.
Right. I want to get a feel for it, but let me ask you a couple quick questions. What age range, what age group?
That's an interesting question. I wrote it for 8 to 14, you know, middle school kids. However, 90% of the readers on Wattpad, so it's it's had 500 or 600 readers so far, and 90% of them are over 40.
See?
And they love it. So,
and I'll tell you why. Because what, excuse the noise, big truck. and I'll tell you why. Is because people are reverting back to a childlike innocence, like we just talked about.
Yeah, and that's,
and you've resonated.
If I have a mission in life, it's to help people revert to a childlike innocence.
Now, again, and so that is why it is resonating with them.
Yeah,
so hard. Let me tell you a quick story for me, and then I'm gonna have you do a reading.
Okay.
So one day I'm at the military base, and I see the seagull. It's the military graduation of the Marine Corps. And I see this seagull come out of the sky, swoop down, and take a woman's sandwich right out of her hand. Angela, I laughed so hard, girl. She was mad. She was mad. She was hungry, and that sandwich looked good. And he did it with skill and precision. He had done this before. A couple days later, I see the same seagull. He's giving himself a bath in this fountain. I take out my journal. And I start pinning a story. Long story short, that story and that book sold over 7,000 copies.
Oh, wow.
And it was an anti-bullying environmental love story.
Lovely.
And I wrote it for children, and it resonated with adults.
Yes.
And so, again, people are looking, they're seeking. Go back. You know, don't stay stuck. Everybody wants to progress forward. They want to move forward so fast. But sometimes, baby brains, you got to move to the left. You got to move to the right. You got to go up. You got to go down. And you got to go within. And whatever direction this set of circumstances takes you, be willing to go there. Be willing to go there and see what you find. You're going to find something that you never knew even existed before.
You know, it's interesting because I try and write every day. And I'll sit down at my laptop and the story just kind of flows. So I'm on chapter 9 of book 2 already. And that one has a much different flavor than the first one. There's a lot more dragons in it.
it will, because again, when you write or when you're a creative, you're not in one particular space. You're fluid. Yeah. You're able to weave in and out of the landscape of life.
And you see where it is a weave, because you see where the story is flowing. And like I have had an idea in my mind of how the story, this first book, was going to end. I was so off. It ended entirely different than what I thought it was. So
it takes you in a totally different direction. I know. Yeah. I'm about to release a brand new podcast series. We'll talk about it offline. I think it'll be something.
Okay. I'll be interested.
Yeah, it's really from another scene. Okay. It is not the typical podcast stuff. It's going to be really great. But I'm finding that I have not really moved forward the way that I wanted to, because everything is happening, everything is evolving, and I'm incorporating life into fiction, you know?
And so
I'm weaving in and out of that, and I don't want to do it too fast, but life is happening so fast.
Yes.
It is. This is something like I've never seen before. Once you get into one situation, it doesn't even give you time to settle, you know?
Well, yeah. And we have, you know, right now we have racial tension. And when that gets settled, we'll have economic downturn. And, you know, who knows what's beyond that.
And
so,
we're still not talking about the coronavirus. But, you know, that's letting people, that's letting the world know that, you know, where are your priorities? That I am willing to die for my right to be heard. And if that's out there with the invisible enemy of a pandemic, then I'm willing to march and I'm willing
that
to.
That speaks so loudly.
That speaks volumes. That speaks volumes, you know? So there's a whole lot of stuff going on. But we want to hear what's going on in the pages of the book. So go ahead. I'm going to get comfortable and sit here and listen to a reading.
Okay, so this is chapter 12. It's called Kidnapped. And it's not available on Wattpad. So this is like the premiere of this chapter.
And exclusive brains on the edge.
Yeah, exclusive, because I love April that much. Bella awoke while it was still dark outside. In the quiet of the night, she could hear Shabona's steady breathing. Shabona was still asleep, lucky for her. Tossing in her bed, Bella tried to go back to sleep, but her mind would not cooperate. She was plagued with stray thoughts and could not fall asleep. Turning her head, she spied out of the corner of her eye movement outside of the window. She lay still, not sure what was happening, afraid to alert anyone to the fact that she was awake. As she watched, Novak appeared in flight just outside her window. He seemed to be chanting. She thought it was perhaps a spell to harm her. I have to break in and tell you that in this book, Novak is he is a supremacist. He believes in only fairies belong, only true fairies. And so he sees her as the main character as not a true fairy. So there's this tension between Novak and her, and he is a little bit Hitler-esque. So anyway, okay, so Novak appeared in flight chanting a spell. She began to panic, unsure of how she and Shabona could possibly defeat him. Going into her heart, she called on Mateus, willing him to come to their room. Shabona rolled over and began snoring. Bella kept her watch on the window, observing the behavior of Novak. Soon he was joined by two friends. They chanted the same spell, filled with guttural, grating, discordant tones. Fearfully, Bella watched as her window began to shimmer like the sun twinkling on water. As the spell was completed, the window blinked in and out of existence three times, and then it was gone. Bella felt the breeze come into her room. She knew she would soon be attacked. Faking sleep, she closed her eyes and hoped for the best.
Wow. So now you've got me wondering, what is that? Let me ask you a question, Angela Lee.
Yeah.
What does hope mean?
What is hope? Hope is... There's an Emily Dickinson poem about hope that's beautiful. It's something about the something on wings that I wish I knew it well enough to say it. Hope is the thing, that feeling inside that blooms and blossoms and allows us to see potential for newness, to see potential for life and love and beauty.
What's love?
Love is everything. I know. Everything. So I came out of a marriage where I was...
Hold on 1 second. We're going to do that again.
Okay.
I'm going to edit that. Okay. So, Angela, when I say the word to you, love, mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
Love is honoring and respecting and wanting the very best for the other person when you're in love. It's adoring. It's
Do you think that love has a texture? Do you think it has a taste? Do you think it has a smell?
I think love is like a fluffy cloud, a fluffy pink cloud that you sink into, and it wraps around you, and you're just held by that cloud, and it's warm and it's inviting, and it just feels so good.
Sounds like some cotton candy to me.
But that would be sticky, and that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, that's a whole other show. What does hope feel and look like to you?
So hope is like a balloon that's always rising. Hope is this balloon that no matter how much you try and push it down and stuff it in, it can't be kept. And it's always rising up and out. And to me, that's what hope is.
What is joy?
Joy is...
Well, it sure does feel good.
Yeah, joy. Joy is when children are giggling. That's what joy is. That bubbling up of laughter that just comes from deep inside. That's what joy is to me.
What does peace look like?
Peace looks like, to me, peace looks like when we can all hold hands and just honor each other as human beings.
Well, you got me feeling good. That's right. I want to thank you for being here on The Edge with me over and over and over again.
I can't wait to come back again.
I know. And, you know, it's heart-centered. This is what it's about. It's about the goose pimples, brains. I didn't know this woman, and she didn't know me.
No.
And she trusted me without knowing me to come on my show to be vulnerable.
And I fell in love with you.
I know. And I fell back in love with you. And to be vulnerable, you know, and to give her version of her truth. And that's what we have to do, brains. We have to allow people to give you, honestly, their version of their truth, of their life experience. Everybody has not walked the same walk. We're not meant to walk in the same walk, okay? We're not meant to wear the same shoe size. We're not meant to wear our hair the same way. We're not meant to go to a smorgasbord and put the exact same thing on all of our plates. That is what variety is for. That is what options are for. That is what choices are for. So let's be open to that. Let's be kind to that. You know, if someone says something, don't be so quick to flip the switch and try to label them and put them in a box. Create a box with no sides, with no top and no bottom. You know?
Which would be holding them on a platter.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is beautiful.
It is. And you are beautiful too. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, how to get a copy of the book. I know that you're, you know, doing some things right now. We're going to get it out. Once you get into a publishing house, we're going to get it out to the world. You're going to send me a couple copies.
I will.
We're going to keep rerunning the show because now you've got me really excited. I'm going to go outside and put on my fairy wings. Yes, brains, I have my own fairy wings.
Next time, let's wear our fairy wings when we have an interview. I do. Of course I do.
you know, know about people until you have a conversation with them.
That's so true. And what I really honestly believe, we have so much more in common than we ever have separating us.
Of course. Because there's no race. There's only the human race. And the only thing that divides us is our own ignorance.
Yes.
I know. I love you too. I know. So tell them how to get in contact with you.
Okay. So I do have a website, angelalee.com. If you want to email me, you can email me through my website, angela@angelalee.com.
And you spell L-E-G-H, right?
L-E-G-H, yeah. Angela, angelalee.com.
I'm going to put that at the bottom. We're going to put a link. And you have some YouTube videos. You have some YouTube videos now?
Oh, yeah. So in Corona, in the time of Corona, I started making little conscious children, tiny little like picture book kind of children's stories. And I looked into getting them published, but publishing a picture book is much more expensive than publishing a storybook because you have to have color pictures throughout. So I ended up just creating YouTube videos for those stories. So there's three stories that are on YouTube. And my YouTube channel is Angela Lee, L-E-G-H.
Okay. So, okay, we want you to check out what's going on with Angela Lee. I want you to take a look at it. I want you to go back to your childlike innocence brains. Just take it down a notch. We cannot continuously be angry and to be aggressive because we're stuck at that point. I don't want a bunch of problem describers. I want a bunch of solution seekers here on the edge. Okay. Thank you, Angela.
You are so beautiful. Thank you.
Bye, brains.
Bye, brains.
Oh, that was wonderful.
That was true. Are we still recording?
It says end all meetings. I don't want to end the meeting.